Accession number 30342, reel 7.
That was stupid, but that must have been in his mind upon that.
Can you remember who that was?
No, no. It wasn't a Geordie line, I know that.
You mentioned earlier, you know, the Benson Harts, the other men from that. Yeah. Did they mix in quite well?
Oh, they did, yes. Oh, I knew I had some. Yeah, Sergeant Slater, George Slater, I think it was, and Jim Cairns, and two or three other lads. Well, I got on quite well with them, yeah.
Did they have any trouble understanding the people from the northeast?
Well, I wasn't aware of it, which, of course, we didn't realise. We were just talking. I suppose we spoke more Geordie than ever we did then, because since I've come down south, of course, I've had to tone the chat down. You know.
What about the officers? Were they all received pronunciation? Or?
Oh, yeah. They all sort of talked a bit partially.
So was there anybody that where you and was there any of the officers with a regional accent, or were they all kind of?
No, I can't. There was one that somebody didn't like. I think his name was Captain Parry. Who didn't like him at all, but he just looked down at him, and he only risen from the ranks. And we found that the higher the people were in the outside world, you may say, you know, gently as it were, they were the better officers than what the ones that had risen from the ranks. Because the one that risen from the ranks sort of a bombastic sort of thing. And the lads was genuine from good education, so they got not quite good.
So what made a good officer, do you think?
Well, I suppose one is they could respect, and like I said earlier on, he wouldn't do anything. He wouldn't get you to do anything and he wouldn't do himself sort of thing. And I thought, well, that's okay, you know. A march with you and all that. Well, of course, the difference was, when you come back from your march, you know, and you had to try and wash your feet and things like that, he just had to take everything off, get a good shower and meal, first-class meal and things like that. Whereas you've had to get wash your feet with blisters and clean your toes and put some gear on, go to cook or stand a queue and all that, you know. Whereas they've got everything laid on, you know.
What about, because officers that they are, this fellow, the Batman, were you ever kind of brought in to do that kind of, or did you know anybody else that was?
Well, my old mate Mackay again, but with him being such a good shot in the army, the Lieutenant Dorian, I think it was, got Mac as his Batman, and this is when we're actually in June this year, and he went to shaving water and things like that, so Mark just went, got his mess and went down to the river, scooped his cold water and just put it down there. So to say, get on with it, you know what I mean. And we had to do the same, of course, you know, get washed the best we could and shave and all that, you know, unless you could, in the cold and things like that.
Because somebody had a story that the officer was supposed to pay his Batman, and you know, I don't know what it would be, but there's a small amount of money every week. Oh, it was unofficial.
Yeah, they probably did. I know they. They lived better because they got better growth than I did. And they got a lot of it was easier and things like that, you know. Because the Batman was left behind, so when the officer come in, he was greeted, made a big fuss of, take your shoes off, sir, I'll clean your shoes, do the blanco, do the blouses, and things like that. Here's your food, I'll clean up and all that thing. All they did was the soldiering, but we had to do the soldiering and come back, clean yourself up. And all that, you know.
So can you remember where the officers' billets were when you were at Rye and when you were at Camberley?
Well, the officers' billet was not very far from where I was living in Rye, the first night I went to Rye, because I was one night I was sitting in the line repair leg, and this guy came, hey Mark, he says, could you eat the dinner? Oh yeah. He says, well, the officer hasn't come in, he says, so he brought the dinner in. Great. Anyway, the officer came in a bit later on, and when he did, he had to go to the swill bin, he'd get a dinner out. He'd give it to the officer, and the officer didn't really know any different. But I got a good dinner that night.
So their food was better than the men's, do you think?
Well, it was more attractive, you know. I mean, they used to make some kind of a donut or something like that, you know. And they used to make it so many, you know, it'd be some small building. You all sit in the canteen. You see, anybody want any books? And that was book sheets, you know. You stand there and throw one there and type the book, trying to get these book sheets, whatever they're going on, you know. and they got serious to make a cocoa with water. And one time, any complaints, and I complained about the, because I had a pint mug. I didn't, when I got my pint of tea, it was about that much short. So when the officer came out, any complaints as well, I said, I didn't get a full pint of tea, sir. Did you? Come along with me. So he says, the sergeant goes, this gentleman, or this soldier here, didn't get a full cup of tea, didn't he? All right. Little sir. He, so when he went away, the officer, the tea was right down, all the dregs, all the tea leaves and all that, you know. He just filled it full of water, got my pint mug, dipped in, all the slops and all that. He says, no, you drink that mug anyway. He says, I want to put you on the travel and I'll drink it. And that was it.
So that convention of the any complaints.
No complaints. You never complained one time about the kit was being off. Oh, so I thought the woman said when we had it 2 days ago. You know.
So it, you knew when you comp. So how often would people complain?
Sure, not many. You realise the best thing to do is to dumb you up.
So in that, so let's say in the, you were with the battalion, at, you know, in the South Coast for the best part of maybe 6, 7, 8 months, 9 months. About how many times did people complain?
Once, I think. That's it. Because you knew for a damn fact. When I come back, it's as if you were jumping ahead. When I come back, I went to Aldershot. I was there, what would it be then? 25, I think, I think. Sort of a senior soldier, as it were, you know. And that was when I was on the first step forward on the captain course, it was really. And this, I was with these, I had about six boys under me, six young fellows under me. And marching along in this platoon here, and what I call the top sergeant major Britain. You hear the sergeant major Britain? The man with a loud voice. Well, he knew he had a low voice and all that thing. So we were walking along, like, and was, when he started shouting, I was saying, take nobody notice, take nobody notice, take nobody notice on. So we shouted about two, we kept on marching, marching. Well, that was embarrassing. He screamed and shouted, and all that was still marching, all that, you know. Anyway, when the fence stopped, come back again. Because seven of us in the guard had to go and beat him. And they says, no, no, that was, no, the complaint was in, why should we confine the fire? Because we didn't do it and all that, you know. So I said, well, I said, well, we'll tell him. I said, well, if you come with me, I'll tell him. Tell him. He says, okay. So they all went there, and I knocked on the door. And he was, somebody was there, was cutting his hair, hard made his hair, like, you know. And so I knocked on the door, all ran away, and left me there. And I got a right old frolicking, you know. And at the finish, like, he realised what had happened, like, he says, you know, and go and work it off and what he got, you know. Mm-hmm. But because he was really embarrassed because he could be heard anywhere in Europe, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. You know? And he had a reputation, didn't he?
He did, yeah, it was true, yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, in the other shot, you had big bellies about when they were walking the body, you had that smartest effort before you go anywhere and all that, you know.
Right, so we've got the photograph.
Yes.
And we're looking at that, and we've got the little machine going. And I've got the rough copy, and you've got the other copy.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know that lad there, I know him quite well. Is his name Fisher Pike or something like that, is it?
That's in the third row, third yeah. One in on the, from the left.
That's me next to him. On so, his right.
And I'm just marking this. Yeah, you can see the resemblance now. That's you there.
That's it, aye. And that's Mackay.
Wait a minute. Stan McDonald. Mackay's next to you.
Yeah.
Mackay's next to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I've got to fit down there. Top row back there. I built it about myself. That's Jim Cairns, the lad. That got killed.
That's Jim Cairns there.
Now, did I tell you about him when he says, don't leave me, Mark, don't leave me, when he got shot? Did I tell you that?
Yeah, on the phone. We'll talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. And the second row, number 10, is McGregor. That's McGregor. That's the Sergeant Major.
So he's next to, McGregor is next to the Sergeant Major.
Yeah.
That's definitely McGregor there.
Yeah, and that's Babington Jones.
Mm-hmm. McGregor. Who do you think the other little officer is? Because it's not.
No, 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 they would be sure them too, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You sure that that's McGregor?
That's Dorian, my officer.
Yeah.
Dorian.
We're marking him Dorian. Yeah.
And that's I think that's a colour sergeant, if I remember rightly.
Yeah. If you have a better look on this picture, start. I can do an enlargement of the photograph for next
can
week.
You?
Oh, I can do a big enlargement.
And that's Bill Greaves.
That's Bill Greaves.
That's Bill Greaves. Without a doubt, I can tell that.
And he's a corporal there, isn't he?
Is he a corporal then?
I think he's only a corporal. Well, obviously, he'll have been promoted.
He's a sergeant.
Yeah.
You could bear one there somewhere if he died, didn't you, Belvidge? I've got Edwards written down somewhere. I've got this man, George Edwards, went a good part of middle school. Second row McGregor, Bill Greaves, front row Teddy Edwards.
Where's Ted Edwards? This one? Sitting down?
Yeah.
Sitting down on the floor?
Yeah, that's
Ted Edwards.
No, I think that's the one I'm talking about. Teddy Edwards.
Standing up.
Yeah, that's the one there, yeah.
Hold on.
And they said number four, Stan MacDonald, that's me. And Arthur Mackay, that's the one there next to me again, mm-hmm. Mackay.
That's definitely you there.
I've got these other things to mention about Sergeant Doyle and Mackay, and Ted Withers and Gregory. I know where Ted is, I talked on the phone the other day. He was the one. You've got no tickness down, are we?
It's just rough on this.
Yeah,
this
he was the one that was. Went for his inoculations, you see, you stand there, you see, get your PT kit on, mm-hmm. and you stand with your hand, your hip like it. And they had one of these medical orderlies, and all he did was to get a swab and do this mm-hmm. and turn it away. Another guy sticking a needle in. Well, it was a routine. I don't think the bloke that was saw the person involved. Mm-hmm. So all he sees is the arm. And I was standing behind Gregory, and he stuck a needle in, and he just stood transfixed. And of course the guy turned out, all he sees is the arm, gives him the same again. So that actually he was out on his feet. When he did the third time, I said, hey, and he went flat down the head. And all he did was drag away and said, oh, here we are, right. And
Where was this at?
That was it. I think it was when we were abroad, not when we were abroad, in it's probably Rye or good Chelsea, it's probably right.
You've got a man called Fowler, where's he at?
Oh yeah. Okay. Have I got him down there?
Yeah, you've got a Fowler. Nine.
Number nine.
Is that the front row? Or is it the fourth row?
Ted Edwards and Fowler.
Ted Edwards, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is that him with the little moustache?
Yeah, that's him, yeah.
So that's Fowler?
Yeah.
What do you remember about him?
Well, he was always late. And he got to his head. He always wanted to be the last one there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at Rye at Winchelsea. At Rye. And for some reason I had forgot something. And he was still in there. And he got hid behind the door. He turned to be last. And they finally caught up to me. And of course, Dan Fowler, his name wasn't Dan, but we said he'd got these American magazines at the time. Dan Fowler was a private eye or something. So he was called Dan. And that was all about him, that's all that thing. Mm. Tommy Monroe, he was a good friend of mine.
You mentioned Les, you would like to find out about Les?
Les Blood, he come from Derbyshire somewhere. He's got his address there, haven't
he? Yeah, 16 Victoria
Street. I wonder if you such find out if he's still around, Nick.
Was he in the battalion with you?
No.
He was a prisoner of war with you?
Yeah.
Ah, well, yeah.
Len Blood, see, that's a photograph he's on. Him and I, he's wearing a trilby hat, and I'm wearing a railway hat of some kind.
Is George Ellens on here then?
Jennings, no, no, no.
But he was in your was he in your company or one of
no, the... No, in Bradsworth.
He went as one of the other companies?
Yeah.
I know... That's Sid Shutt that I got the photograph of. He was from Thornley. He was from my dad's village. He was a bit older than the... He was about 30 then. He was a married man with a couple of kids when he was called up. Because they used to say that the married men, you know, they were always counting the pennies because they were sending her back to the wife and so on.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And that's Sid. And this lad here was from Thornley as well. He's another Thornley fella. A fella called Holliday. He was taken prisoner at Salerno, or just after Salerno. I'll get this blown up for next week. And is that definitely Stapledon with the glasses on?
Yes, but yeah. I'm sure. Well, yeah.
Because he's the only one in the entire photograph with glasses, isn't he?
Yeah. He's a nice lad too. Yeah. I remember that part. Every time I heard the music on a Sunday dinner time, the TV didn't go, the sleeper didn't go. It meant to go straight back to him and stand there, play before him and sing. And the sergeant made a couple of said, give us a bit of a rollicking. He said, all right, now, sir, I've got to pack it now. Yeah. Never went up the next day or the same day when it wasn't. Yeah. I got myself killed or whatever it was. And I got letters from people trying to find out if I knew him, what happened to him, but I didn't know what happened to him. Yeah. Yeah. I remember that the George got shot in the leg right next to me. Yeah.
Who's that man there that you've marked?
Well, that's a Stanley, the one that I put the kit was in there.
Oh!
Yeah.
So that's where we are. That's him, he's got the big shoulders.
Yeah.
Stanley, that's his second name.
That's his second name, yeah.
So that's
I think he comes from Shoshiers, but I didn't know him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because there weren't, I don't think, that's Tom Turnbull. Tom's still alive, he lives in Sunderland. I mean, I've got his address, I haven't got his phone number, but the thing is, his memory's a bit wobbly, that's the thing. He was good friends with the fella next to him, Bob Wallace. He was his best mate, and he died, 30 years ago. But Tom was like a bit, he was like one of the older men, he was married,
yeah.
And everything was all set up before he went in the army.
Yeah.
So, it was him that provided most of the caption for this, because Sid had the photograph, he'd never seen it since 43, and it was Tom that like put most of the names to Sid put a few names to them. Bill Hitch is somebody that pops up quite a lot, that one there. I'll get a one done for next week, because I can blow it'll be in two halves, it'll be like on two bits of paper, but I can blow it up I can blow it up quite well, because I've got it on the computer and everything.
It's a shame, these old young boys there, half your age now.
Well, that's it, they are.
I still see with my eyes like as a young lad, and I can. He's 84 next month.
Yeah.
There's my parents up there, and myself in there.
So I was as a young man?
Yeah. I just got my... That's my wife next to me, and that's my daughter. She's 52 now.
For the little baby?
Yeah. That's my parents and my grandmother. Mm-hmm. That's my mum is look after her in the middle. That's my dad there.
Yeah, that looks
he
like
never lost any hair at all, full head of hair.
Yeah, it's definitely like the late 20s, early 30s, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, what was the beach where you're at? Would it be bare, somewhere like that?
It was on the Soshus Beach.
Oh, aye. Oh. Yeah. When was this taken?
That must have been taken there. About 50 years ago.
Yeah.
That's my grandson there below.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one I went to university last week.
Yeah. That's a good photograph, that, though.
Yeah. Well, she's a pretty girl. There's a photograph one a bit older. Yeah. I'm
Right, so we'll. Right, Mr. McDonald, got the tape recorder going again.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Rye, and before the battalion went abroad, and off the tape you told us a story about going on guard with the.
Oh, yes, yeah, well, Mackay, my sidekick, a book I should call them, is. He had been on guard the night before, and he got what they called a stick, which was for the smartest guy on guard. So he went, if you're the smartest guy, you don't do the guard, you got a free night. So he talked me into using his brasses, equipment, pouches, what have you, so we could get the stick, we'd have a book, she'd so we could have a couple of beers. So I said, okay, a bit reluctantly. So he picked me up with his pouch and that down, sit there, that's what we said, that's okay. So I went, had a pint in the pub, and who should be standing alongside the bar with the Sergeant Major. So I thought, oh, he's all right, you know, he's up. So we just had a couple of pints there. And of course, in the course of having the beer, well, maybe told me how to count them, I think, was it got some beer splashed on the pouches? But didn't matter what. Anyway, I goes on guard, who should be on guard? The officer had gone off somewhere, and we got Sergeant Major Spike, as we call him, and he had seen us in the front. And of course, he really went to town on us. Like. So instead of getting a free night, like, I've got a really rough passage on the guard and all that, you know. But Mackay got up all right, because he wasn't on the bed, trying to know him. That boy summed it up really, but was a bit, thought he was going to get such a night out and say that I got fatigued as well, like, you know.
How long would it normally take you to get in a presentation order to go on guard, you know, to get all the equipment set up?
Oh, it would take. Well, you've got plenty of time to organise it. If you had two sets of equipment, you could keep one tidy, you know, but you didn't always get the chance, because you keep one tidy, you can bet your bottom dollar. This is a couple of days before you had an idea when to be on guard, because you got alphabetical order to a certain degree. If you went on an exercise, and you're crawling about and all that, you got all your equipment dirty and filthy, the brasses and things like that. So you had to sort of discard them and get the other one out. But if you got, you didn't get, or you got a chance to get them clean, you had two of us, right, you know, shit order to be called. And of course, you didn't get a chance, so that was when you had to really work hard, because it, when it comes to some of the guys that hadn't been on that exercise, or hadn't got wet, their equipment was top hole, so you didn't get any much of a chance to win at all. I mean, I wasn't one of those guys that was very good at all. I was just very, very mediocre. I was probably smoking and things like that.
So would most people have two sets of kit, two sets of equipment?
Sorry?
Would most people have two sets of equipment?
Oh yeah, well, I should, probably did. Oh, you could come across ones, put it that way, you could come across ones, that, you know. You could always beg, borrow or steal something like that, you know, to get in all the last night.
What were the kind of things that would go missing from your equipment? What would people always show?
Well, I'll say this much, the crowd I mixed with, there was no thieves about them at all. Of course, you had learned the hard way, like, whatever you do, don't leave anything around. But when you got to know the guys, the ones that you couldn't trust them, you could leave things there to be okay. You know, so there was odd times and all that, but on the whole, the crowd I mixed with were pretty genuine sort of lads and all that, you know.
Now, you mentioned when you're on guard duty, where were you actually on guard duty? What were you guarding?
Oh, along by the sea, along the seafront and places like that. And if you walk it down there, you'd be two on and four, whichever it was anyway. And when they come off, you had to put a report in. Well, nothing happened. So we should invent things to see, like, you know. Oh, we saw a light flashing over there and all that sort of thing, which is more about rubbish.
Why did you invent things?
Well, because I think it was dull around, they have just the same old thing, nothing happened, you see. There was a light shedding over there, and there was a noise coming that way and all that, you know, which was all at it. And we could also hear the owls, and especially around by Rye there, but at night, the croaking of all the frogs. There must be millions and millions of frogs about there, probably a million, which was constantly croaking quite loud and all that, which you notice that during the evening, nobody else around that. And that's what struck me about them. You know.
Now, you mentioned your sergeant major, Spike Etherington. Was he more of a stickler for detail than the officers that would have took, you know, that with that incident? Would the officer have given you a similar hard time?
Oh, he would have done, yes, indeed, yeah. Because maybe they wanted somebody to do fatigue, do jackets, as they called it, and all that. The slightest thing, you went out of place, if they were desperate for somebody, just call you and just...
What were the fatigues? What would that involve? What were the things that they involved?
Well, cleaning the trays, and the cookers, scrubbing the tables, and the Dixies used to cook the stuff in, all that, was a black as noodles knocker. And of course, you got a sandbag full of sand and some hessian, and you had to clean them up. And the side of it, going, I said, I want to see my face and I'm shining like that. And of course, your hand was really sore and all that, and cold water and sandbags and books, trying to rub these up. And then we had to get them put right clean. And that was there. You got through that way. Like, you know.
So there wasn't a special group of men that would have to do the cleaning, it would just be people roped in to do it.
Well, I think it might have been, no, I think every guy was coloured known again that because of it, you know. That special guys there do the cooking and things like that, you know, but they weren't always exactly the best of cooks.
Did you notice any increase in the training routine before you went abroad? Was there any special training?
More arduous, I think. Longer marches, more strenuous, more sub courses and things like that.
Does anything stand out, any incidents stand out in this, like, this is late 42, this period?
Well, there was one exercise. It must have lasted more or less a full week. And I think other regiment was in it, as well as the DLIs, and I think probably the Devonshire and Forestiers and things like that. It was a huge exercise. And it was all over the Kent, Sussex, and that sort of place. And you had to march here and march in there and all that, and take and come and book it down rain at 12 o'clock at night and just say, right, all lads, lie down there. You know, fall asleep and that, and you have to sleep there with your gas cape on, things like that. You get up the next morning, making them. And of course, you always got some idiot that had a shave. And of course, Spike was Sergeant Major, he wasn't going to make the shave. When he saw this guy have a shave, everybody had a shave because nobody wanted a shave because it was bitterly, bitterly cold. We just get water over the river, something like that. We had to have a shave and that, you know. Spike didn't go out on this guy either, I tell you, because he wouldn't have shaved on himself, but he had to shave when somebody else shaved.
Do you remember other veterans are talking about the cinema being bombed at Rye? Do you remember anything about that?
No, I don't remember that. No, I don't remember that. What I do remember is they had people who come out and entertain you. And you had, I can't think of the name, had these people who come out to.
Ensa, was it the Ensa?
Ensa, that's the word, Ensa. And, well, there was some of them, like, you know, had the puppets on today and things like that. And that's what old grown men were like. You know. And of course, you all got some typical years ago thing. You got a woman which is 40 odd, which was obviously, I was only 20 then. And they were old people, of course, and there were big books of bunches and were singing this opera, or what was classic music. And always had a big, long handkerchief or something, or something about it. We were sitting there like this, and then, both sudden, and it was coming out a couple of times here. Right, there's a concert party coming tonight. I want some volunteers to sit there. Not a word. Not a word. And there's a coming up and said, you want to go, don't you? Yes, I've got your door. Yes, I've got your door. And you had to force in and sit there.
Who would ask?
Probably the sergeant major or somebody, or a sergeant, big to sit there for the sense of concert. You got the odd one that was okay, but the other one were third rate. Like, you know.
What were the ones that were okay? What's the ones that stand out?
Well, I suppose the ones that would tell you a few blue jokes and things like that. You know.
So what were the normal run of the mill stuff? What was it? It was just this opera and lights?
Stuff, yeah.
So what did the men want? What did you actually want from a concert?
I suppose they wanted popular music and things like that, you know.
And prettier girls? And
pretty girls, yeah. But you never got any pretty girls, no.
Was the
pretty awful girls.
Was the dances organised with the local people in Rye? Do you have any kind of for the?
There was dances there, but you had to go and pay. Like it wasn't organised by the army.
So there wasn't any kind of like, well, you like was in ADS girls or anything like that. There was none of that going on.